offering flexible workspace in 1,800 locations worldwide. More at regis.com/radio.
88.9 WCVE, Richmond Public Radio. This is Morning Edition. And WCVE analyst Jeff Shapiro joins us from the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his regular Friday morning analysis of Virginia political news. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi there, Wayne.
It appears that the House of Delegates and State Senate will not produce a budget by the scheduled adjournment of the General Assembly 8 days from now. What do they do then?
Yes, and so what else is new? Excuse me for upstaging you, Wayne. You know, the House and Senate remain split, have been since day one, on Medicaid for Obamacare. The bottom line here, and I think this is really important, that whatever form this takes, extending health care to uninsured Virginians and helping pay for it with federal dollars, even through this private marketplace that has been advanced by the Virginia Senate in its budget, it will require expanding Medicaid. You know, Virginia will need an entity to manage all of these additional dollars. We're talking about nearly $7 billion over 4 years. That entity logically would be the state Medicaid agency. So when the Republicans say this is about Medicaid expansion and we're against it, they are on to something. Now, the Senate Democrats recognize this with their working control of the Senate, and they're hoping to bring the House Republicans around. So they are bowing to the House, if you will, proposing a four-year audit of Medicaid. But in return, the House would have to go along with this network of private insurers that the Senate envisions, in its version of the budget. Now, the House, that big Republican majority, is also pushing back to this perceived bullying, for lack of a better term, from the new governor, Terry McAuliffe. Legislators, Republican legislators, taking to the floor and saying that the governor's been strong-arming them, suggesting he will veto their bills. The governor is clearly attempting to motivate somewhat by humiliation. He was on the radio the other day, talking about how Virginia's part-time legislators have full-time health care coverage at public expense. This is unfair, the governor said, when others were going without. So there's a good deal of Sturm und Drang on this, and it'll be a while before there is an agreement, if there is at all. This is just too important an issue, too important a political issue for both parties for either to give up anytime soon.
Might be just worth mentioning in passing that the Virginia Chamber of Commerce, generally regarded as Republican-leaning, came out strongly for Medicaid expansion through a private system similar to the Senate plan this week.
Affirmative.
Well, legislators can either stick around after March the 8th and try to resolve all this, or they can go home and come back later. What do you think they'll do?
You know, we have seen this before. We have seen on-again, off-again extensions. We have seen governors insist that the legislature remain in session. There's a good deal of theater involved in all of this. So, you know, stay tuned. We still have another 8 days to go.
The mental health reform legislation apparently will fall short of comprehensive reform.
You know, of course, this was the issue on everyone's mind when the legislature convened in January. And, of course, all of this rooted in that terrible story out of Bath County. Gus Deeds, the son of Senator Cree Deeds, attacking the senator with a knife, then Gus Deeds committing suicide. Now, that awful sequence of events took place only 13 hours after Gus Deeds had been released from an emergency custody order. Now, Senator Deeds has said had his son been held longer, this might not have occurred. And he very publicly and very emotionally faults the mental health care system for what has occurred. Now, that's the background against which these big divisions are taking place. The House and Senate have very different ideas about how long a period of time someone can be held involuntarily for a mental health evaluation. The Senate position is 24 hours, a full day. The House position is 6 hours. There's some additional money involved in all this. The House is talking about $48 million, the Senate, $60 million. I suspect that there is a good deal of emotional power behind this issue, and it will compel the legislators to come up with something that looks like a workable improvement.
Just briefly, Congressman Eric Cantor, House Majority Leader in Washington, had his annual fundraising event in Richmond. This is a pretty big event, I guess, for politicians.
Yes, the Cantor-Nash, formerly the Bliley Breakfast. Well, what's really important about this is that Eric Cantor is one of about a half dozen House Republican leaders around the country who have primary challenges. Now, ordinarily, this would be a nuisance for someone of Eric Cantor's stature, but it comes at a time when the Republican Party is trying to broaden its appeal. And the congressman is playing an important role in that. Some of this may be more semantic and a lot of packaging. For example, Cantor telling his guests this past week that it's important not just for Republicans to oppose the Obama White House and Democrats, but to propose alternatives.
Terry McAuliffe's cabinet was confirmed by the General Assembly. There's one other appointment, not a cabinet position, though, that's still pending. The former Attorney General has a new job.
Yes, all those cabinet appointments approved. There was a late hang-up for Morris Jones, the Commerce Secretary. Some questions about allegedly improper lobbying by Jones when he was Deputy HUD Secretary up in Washington. He apparently had been cleared of that. We're waiting for legislative action on the Boyd Marcus appointment to the Liquor Board. The House Republicans are threatening to block it as retaliation for Marcus's refusal to support Ken Cuccinelli for governor. Marcus, of course, a prominent Republican operative, and then going to work for the McAuliffe campaign. And P.S., Ken Cuccinelli has started a new law firm. Among his partners, Tom Garrett, a state senator from Louisa County and an ex-prosecutor. The Washington Post says this firm is going to be representing people in self-defense and concealed weapons cases, a Second Amendment-oriented firm. Certainly right up Ken Cuccinelli's alley.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks to Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch, who analyzes Virginia political news for us here at WCVE News. Portions of today's programming are made possible by Jerry Williams, MC for this weekend's International Film Festival and publisher of the cultural guide Sifter at TVJerry.com.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning, I'm David.